بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to the book reading of حياة الصحابة. الحمد لله، Allah has enabled us to keep going with this book reading, and this is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any good deed that we are able to do, it is with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not have the power and the ability to do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to do His work of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need us for the work of deen. He does not need us for the work of Islam. It is His blessing and mercy upon us that He enables us to be part of this great work. We do not even have power to stop the blood flow in our body. We do not even have the power to stop our heart from beating. We are totally powerless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need us. And even that reading about the story of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the accounts shared by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being part of this recording, being part of listening to these stories is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, He is our guide. He is our guide. He has shown us the way. He has shown us which path we should walk. By reading the accounts of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we learn more about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We learn about his attributes, about his actions, about his habits. And then apart from this, we read about the accounts of the pious predecessors. And all this gives us a better understanding of deen. It gives us a better understanding of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And by getting a better understanding of deen, by getting a better understanding of Islam, by getting a better understanding of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this instills the heart of, this instills the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our hearts. And when we acquire this love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when we have this love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it makes it easier for us to act upon Islam. We want to do what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat down to eat, we want to do what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did when he sat down to eat. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would wake up, what he did, we want to do. Because now that love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is coming into our hearts. When we read about his sacrifices, when we read what he sacrificed, when we read about how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum made sacrifices, a realization comes into our heart that these people, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they made sacrifices so that deen can come to us. When we see the situation that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum faced, we see the same situation is coming in front of us today. And we learn how to tackle the current situation by reading about how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tackled this situation. How did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam practice Islam? How did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam call people towards Islam? How did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam speak out against people? How did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam warn of the wrongs, warn of the evils? When we learn all this, we become practicing Muslims. And this is our goal, this life is a short life. One day, me and you, we will all die. We are not here to stay here forever. One day, we will leave this world. We have to realize that this dunya is not the maqsad. This dunya is not the purpose. This world that we are living in is not our purpose. Our purpose is the akhirah. Our purpose is the hereafter. And when we read about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we realize Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not working for dunya. He was working for the hereafter. Today, we are drowned in the world that we are starting to work for dunya. We are not working for the hereafter. We are not working for Jannat. We are not working for that day that we will die. We are behaving like we will be living here forever. We are so drowned in the world that our ambitions have changed. Our ambitions is we have to accommodate ourselves. We have to get our own home. We have to have our own car. We have to have a holiday every year. This has become our ambitions. living in this dunya and being absorbing everything that is happening around us, this has now become our ambition. So to change this ambition, we have to read about the accounts of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We have to read about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to read about the accounts of our pious predecessors. We have to read about the stories of the Anbiya alayhimu salam. Then from there we understand that this dunya is nothing. This dunya is nothing. So let us continue, inshaAllah. We had reached page 121 of volume 1 in Hayat al-Sahaba. Here, in this chapter, they are addressing when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going out to give dawah to different people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites the Aus and Khazraj tribes to Islam. One day, while mentioning the virtues of the Ansar and that the fact that they were the pioneers of Islam, Hazrat Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu said, "The person who does not like the Ansar and does not recognize the rights due to them cannot be a mu'min. By Allah, use their swords, their power of speech, and their generosity of their hearts to nature Islam, just as a mare natures her fowl in a green pasture." During the seasons of Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go out to call the virtuous tribes to Islam, the various tribes to Islam. However, none was prepared to accept his message. He used to meet the various tribes at the marketplaces of Majinnah and Ukaz and Atmina until he would meet the same tribes returning year after year. In fact, there were those tribes who used to say to him, "When will the time come for you to give up hope on us because you have been meeting with us for such a long time?" Eventually, the time came when the most powerful, the most honored Allah decided matters in favor of the tribes of the Ansar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then presented Islam to them and they readily accepted. They took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to their town, assisted him and sympathized with him. May Allah reward them with the best of rewards. Thereafter, we, the Muhajireen, the people who migrated from Mecca, came to them and took up residence in their homes. They preferred us above themselves to the extent that they would even draw lots to decide which of them would be host to us. Eventually, from the depth of their hearts, they allowed us to have greater rights than them in their very own wealth. They even sacrificed their lives for the protection of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May the mercies and blessings of Allah be showered upon them. Hazrat Umme Saad bint Saad bin Rabi radiallahu anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued calling people to Islam when he was staying in Makkah. However, he was abused and hurt. Eventually, the decision of Allah demanded that honor came to this tribe of the Ansar. Consequently, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam met a group of them at a place called Aqaba, as they were busy shaving off their hair after performing Hajj. When one of the narrators asked Hazrat Umme Saad radiallahu anha who the group was, she replied, "They were six or seven persons from the Banu Najjar tribe, where Asad bin Zurara and the two sons of Afra." She did not name the rest of them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat down with them, conveyed the message of Allah to them and recited a part of the Quran to them. They accepted Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and agreed to meet him the following year. This incident is known as the first pledge of Aqaba. Thereafter, the second pledge of Aqaba took place. One of the narrators then asked Hazrat Umme Saad radiallahu anha, "How long did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stay in Makkah?" Replied, "Have you not heard the words of Abu Sirma, Qais bin Abi Anas?" The narrator responded by saying, "I do not know what he said." He then quoted the following couplet: "He stayed with the Quraysh for a few years more than 10, advising people with the hope of meeting a suitable friend." He then proceeded to quote an entire poem, which we shall inshallah be quoted in a hadith of Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu in the chapter concerning the help that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum rendered to the cause of Islam. So here we learn that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he strived to give dawah to the travelers who came to Makkah for Hajj, and even to the people who lived in Makkah. And this dawah that he gave, it was for 10 years, to the extent that the people who he was giving dawah to, the people who he was inviting towards Islam, they told him, when are you going to get tired? Every year you are inviting us to Islam, and every year we are rejecting you. When are you going to get tired? But this was the perseveration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is also an example for us that when we do things, we follow the teachings of Islam, and sometimes we get tired. We don't see results. And this is also a test for us that we have to hold strong onto our effort. Whether that effort is in business, whether that effort may be in the house, maybe that effort is in whatever manner or in whatever aspect of life. But as long as we are following the teachings of Islam, then we should not need to worry when the results will come. The results is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That everything we do in this life, it is a test. It doesn't mean that we are doing everything in the right manner, that our results should come immediately. Sometimes results may never come. Main results is in the hereafter. This is our test. We shouldn't get tired. We shouldn't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If our belief is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then may our efforts take 10 years, may they take 15 years, 20 years, 5 years, not matter. Sorry, we had an interruption with the speaker. Yes, so the effort that we make, we have to ensure that our efforts are according to the deen. The results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strived. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strived for Islam. And for 10 years, he gave dawah towards Islam. For 10 years, he gave dawah towards Islam. And after 10 years, that's when Allah subhanahu, after this effort of 8 to 9 years, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted him with the Ansar. And then the Ansar accepted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and eventually the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum migrated to Medina. And not only did they migrate there, when they migrated there, the Ansar, the helpers, the people living in Medina, they opened their homes, they opened their hearts to them. They gave them the right over their wealth, the right over their house. Subhanallah. This was the sacrifice that they made for their deen. This was the sacrifice the Sahaba radiallahu anhu made for their deen. The same sacrifice today, we find it very impossible to make. The same sacrifice that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu made, we find it very impossible to make. She then proceeded to quote an entire poem. Alhamdulillah, we have read this. Hazrat Aqil bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Zuhri narrate that one day during the period when the mushrikeen started harassing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to a great degree, he said to his uncle Hazrat Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, "O my beloved uncle, Allah shall assist his deen using such people to whom the oppressive opposition of the Quraysh would seem trivial and who would enjoy great honor in the eyes of Allah. Take me to the marketplace of Uqas and show me where the various Arab tribes are staying, because I want to call them towards Allah and request them to protect me and grant me asylum so that I may propagate the message of Allah to humanity." Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu says, "O my beloved nephew, proceed to Uqaz. I shall accompany you and show you where the tribes are staying." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam started by inviting the Thaqif tribe to Islam and then continued meeting the other tribes who were there for Hajj that year. The following year, which was the year in which Allah commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to preach openly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam met six persons from amongst the Aus and Khazraj tribes. They were Asad bin Zurara radiallahu anhu, Abul Haytham bin At-Tayyihan radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, Saad bin Rabi radiallahu an, Noman bin Haritha radiallahu an, and Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam met them one night at the Jamara Aqaba during the days of Mina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat with them, invited them to believe in Allah, to worship Him, and to assist Him in the propagation of the deen that Allah had sent the Anbiya and Rasul with. When they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to present to them what Allah had revealed to him, he recited the following verses of Surah Ibrahim to them, the translation of which is, remember the time when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, when he left his wife Hajra and son Ismail in Makkah, O my Rabb, make this city peaceful and safeguard my children and myself from worshipping idols. O my Rabb, indeed, these idols have misled many people. So whoever will follow me by believing in Tawheed, then he is certainly from me from among the adherents of my religion. And whoever will disobey me, then I pray that you give him the abit to obey me, because surely you are most forgiving, most merciful. O our Rabb, I have settled some of my children, Ismail alayhi salam, in a valley that cannot be cultivated, close to your sacred house, the Kaaba. O our Rabb, I have left them here so that they establish Salah. So cause the hearts of some people to be inclined towards them, so that people may love them and settle with them, and provide for them fruits of all types from your provisions for their sustenance, so that they may be grateful. O our Rabb, indeed you know what we conceal and what we disclose. So forgive us for all our mistakes we make. Nothing in the heavens and the earth is hidden from Allah. All praise be to Allah, who has gifted me with my sons Ismail alayhi salam and Ishaq alayhi salam, despite my old age. Undoubtedly my Rabb hears all prayers. O my Rabb, make me one who establishes Salah and my progeny as well. O my Rabb, accept my prayer. O our Rabb, forgive me, my parents and the mu'mineen on the day when reckoning shall commence, the day of Qiyamah. Never think that Allah is unaware of what the oppressors do. Allah does not punish them immediately, because He is only granting them respite until the day of Qiyamah, when gazes of people will be fixed to when gazes of people will be, when, never think that Allah is unaware of what the oppressors do. Allah does not punish them immediately, because He is only granting them respite until the day of Qiyamah, when gazes of people will be fixed upwards because of the intense fright. On that day, they will be running towards the plain of resurrection with their heads fixed upwards in astonishment and fright, their gazes never returning to them. And their hearts will be empty, confused, and without feeling because of the intense fear. Warn people of a day when punishment will afflict them, and the oppressors will say, O our Rabb, grant us respite to return to the world for a short while. We shall accept your call and follow the Rasul. Their plea will be rejected, and it will be said to them, did you not swear on oath before this in the world that you shall never be displaced from the world? You lived in the homes of those who oppressed themselves, and it was clear to you how we dealt with them. You saw that they were destroyed, yet you did as they did. And we even cited examples for you so that you may mend your ways, but you failed to listen. They plotted their plots, but their plots rest with Allah. He knows what they plot and makes their plots fail. Even though their plots seem so powerful that mountains could be displaced by their plots, never think that Allah will break His promise to His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He promises them His help, and His help shall come to them. Indeed, Allah is mighty, able to take vengeance on behalf of whoever whoever he wills from whoever he wills. Do not forget the day of Qiyamah, when the earth will be changed into another earth, and the skies will also be changed. They will be taken, they will then present themselves before Allah, the one, the most powerful. On that day you will see the criminals, kuffar, shackled together in chains. Their garments will be of kah, which smells terribly and burns easily, and the fire will cover their faces. They will present themselves before Allah, so that Allah may repay every soul for what good or evil it had earned. Indeed, Allah is swift in reckoning. This Quran is a message for the people, so that they are warned by it, and so that they may know by the proofs and examples it contains that He, Allah, is but one Ilah. And so that the intelligent ones take heed, listen, learn, and prepare for the Akhirah. Surah Ibrahim, verse 35 to 52. Their hearts were moved by these words of the Quran, and they accepted Islam. As they were engaged in conversation in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu passed by. Recognizing the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "O my nephew, O my nephew, who are these people with you?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "These are the residents of Yathrib, from Aus and Khazraj tribes. I gave them the same dawah that I had given to so many other tribes before them, and they accepted my message and believed what I said. They have also mentioned that they shall take me back with them to their city." Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu descended from his animal, tied it up, and said, "O people of the Aus and Khazraj, this is my nephew and the person I love most. If you accept his message, believe him, and intend to take him with you to your city, I want you to make a promise so that my heart may be content. Promise me that you shall never desert him and never betray him, because your neighbors are the Jews and the Jews are the enemies. I fear that the Jews may connive against him." So alhamdulillah, what do we learn from this? If we see what is happening in our situation today, especially what is happening in Gaza, that we have drowned ourselves trying to do efforts in the inappropriate way, in using haram methods to help our brothers and sisters in Gaza. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran that these oppressors, people who oppress, they'll get their punishment, their time will come. We make our effort, and our effort is that of deen. Our effort is that of Islam. Their punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them. And what effort we make, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed will happen. But when we make the effort in the correct manner, when we make the effort according to Islam, in this process, we will be rewarded. In this process, we will be rewarded. Don't let Gaza become a distraction for us. Let it become motivation for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeing their pain, seeing their patience, seeing their suffering, make a motivation for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do dua for them, to remind people that, look, life and death, it can come any time. Our death can come any time. Just like for the people of Gaza, it was overnight that their city was totally crushed. This was the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to understand this, and we have to understand everything, that in life, it all comes down to what we do. If we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Qiyamah Day, that's what we will be judged according to what we do. And if we want our success in the hereafter, then we have to follow the teachings of Islam. We have to follow the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that on Qiyamah Day, when we are presented. When we are presented with our amal support us that we have been following the deen of Allah, that we have been following the deen of Islam. There are many distortions that are happening in this day and age. We have to make sure that we stick to the Quran and Sunnah, that we stick to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And to do that, we have to, there are many different ways, going to the ulama, also reading about our pious predecessors. Reading about our pious predecessors is very important from us because we learn a lot of deen from them. We learn lessons from them. We learn about Islam from them. We learn about what they did, how they handled situations, and we learn from their advice. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to do this, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us strong iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from His beloveds. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.